Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Saw you fade too, like you started, you had all this energy, and we were, yep, were doing bits, and we, yep, were watching the Tonys, and then you faded.
We were eating, and then
eating,
I like
so good.
Crashed.
You did.
Coughed up a small child. And
that's right. You didn't need to talk because Scott and I did all the talking.
I love that. I love now that I have Scott and Mitchell in the same room, and now you all are podcasting, and I could just like pass this off to you all.
I'm so glad that Scott is I was gonna say home, he's home.
He's home.
I know, and Jerry's here. It's great.
Yeah, Scott was my good go-to. When you were on the boat. Aww. And tooling around. So tell us about your tour. You're back, but just go back there a little bit if you can. Tell
it was
us
great.
About,
I had a
this
great.
This is, how many tours have you been on with
this
Second
is
City?
This is my fifth.
Wow.
My fifth.
You've
boat.
Seen the world with
I
Second
have.
City,
my
haven't you?
My fifth ship tour and my sixth Second City contract total.
Wow.
And it's great. I had a great cast, great musical director.
How many people are there?
There's five
cast?
Actors, two uh-huh. women, three men, and a piano player. And we were on the Norwegian Star, and
is that really big in terms of?
It's a big ship. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not the hugest, but it's a big ship.
Is it the biggest you've been on?
No, I think the biggest I've been on was the Jade, which was in Europe. I think that was bigger, but
okay.
this has about 3,000 passengers.
That's a lot.
And then you know a good 1,500 employees, so it's a lot. So many fun things. I mean, I really loved going to Costa Maya and Cozumel in Mexico.
New for you?
They were new for me, and Belize and Roatan. Roatan, I really like. Belize is sort of a difficult place. It's one of those places where you become very much aware of the haves and the have-nots.
Mm.
Because if you're a tourist in Belize, you stay at a hotel, and so you're a have, and then the have-nots are pretty intense.
Right.
Intensely have-not. And so, it just becomes difficult to not feel, you know, sort of responsible on some level. So, but I really loved Costa Maya, which is a coastal island, and I had a little ritual. I'd go to this cafe, and I'd get a little breakfast at this beautiful little cafe, literally on the beach, Nacional Beach Club, and owned by this total hippie from like California.
And because you would be there, you would be in that country, in that town, like
every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday in Costa Maya, every Friday in Cozumel, and I loved Cozumel as well, and because it's very much like a little city, like you. Port right at the edge of a little city, and uh-huh. So if you're you know adventurous, you wander around. And I made a friend at a cafe, a graphic designer that I met having coffee, and he spoke English, and then we continued to see each other every Friday. So I had a little.
Did you sleep with him?
A lot.
Oh,
and, yeah, he was.
That
cute.
Was Fridays.
Fridays.
Yeah.
Fridays. My cousin.
Friday fun.
And everybody in my cast knew that like at a certain point in the afternoon, I was either going to leave or join people later because. my cousin Mel Guy and I were going to hang
out. Your afternoon delight was happening.
My afternoon delight. And he was really great.
Don't you love afternoon delight?
I love it.
What's the best time to have sex, Mitchell? Anytime?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, I like morning sex. I like,
men like morning sex, right? Because you have an erection in the morning.
Yeah, but it's also like an erection.
I haven't been around a man in so long that I don't know if that's still true.
It isn't necessarily why. It's just like because an erection in the morning is often due to like having to pee. So that's not really all that sexy. Well, no. I mean, I guess some people think it is, but I mean.
So it's a myth. So actually, men don't always wake up with an erection.
Well, they do, but it's because they've had to pee all night.
Oh.
Like it's called a piss hard on.
It's a piss hard on.
Yeah, boys know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea. This is why thing. I want to know this.
Right, you've never.
I don't know why. But.
You've never seen a man try to pee in the morning with a hard on. You have to sort of like bend back and sort of like aim so you don't, because it's because sometimes you can't wait until it actually goes down before you pee because you have to pee.
Yeah.
So then we switched. At one point, we had an entire cruise charted by the One Love Gospel Cruise, and
oh
it was an entire cruise ship of African American church folk. And
fun!
It was so fun, and so much amazing music. And I met the most amazing people, and the most beautifully dressed women. And there was a hat fashion show.
Yes.
And I just want to share a couple of little moments from that.
Yes.
Of course, I was, you know, front row at the hat fashion show.
Yes.
And the woman who was selling the hats.
I can't believe you were emceeing the
hat. Oh my God, I watched it. Well, she was emceeing it. And she said, hattitude with attitude. Brilliant. I loved her so much. And then she said, if your crown is your glory, let this hat tell your story. And I nearly bought myself a $600 yellow hat with Swarovski crystals on it.
Oh.
And then, I don't know if anybody listening knows who Yolanda Adams is. She's a very famous gospel singer.
Yep.
And she headlined and she sang her face off.
Wow.
And she sold her...
Now, you got to see all these things? Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Because we have passenger status. A lot of people didn't get to, but we have passenger status.
Right.
So that was amazing. And that changed up our itinerary. We went to the Grand Cayman Islands on that cruise and some other things. And then we switched and we went to St. Martin and St. Thomas and Aruba and Curacao and Jamaica.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really amazing. And then eventually ended up spending 3 weeks New York to Bermuda. And so I spent a lot of time in the sun. I'm brown as a berry.
You are.
I loved my cast. Truly funny people. Two people from L.A. Made some lovely friends on the ship, dancers and art directors and... Because, you know, there's art auctions on the ship, which is very interesting.
Oh, I did not know.
There's, like, amazing artwork on the ship. Like, full-on Picassos and Chagalls. Because who's going to steal it? Because there's cameras everywhere, and how could you get it off the ship? So
right.
There's literally, like, gorgeous pieces of art all over the ship.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. It's really amazing. I had a really great time. I at this point with the gig, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, I can sort of ease into the life. We had one cruise where I recognized a dude, and I couldn't figure out how, and he was, like, gorgeous, like, mocha-colored gorgeous, and he had, like, a 15-pack stomach, and I was like, who's this dude? And then I realized that he's a very famous porn star, and that he and four other guys were on the ship, and they had gotten one of the big suites, and were clearly filming porn up there.
Were they gay?
Yeah, gay porn.
Yeah?
And they were really nice and really fun. I mean, I didn't have sex with them, but, like, we hung out and had cocktails, and they were really fun. And I always try to find the gay boys on the ship. There's this thing they call the Friend of Dorothy meeting.
Right.
So I always try to find out, like, just to sort of be a liaison and say, hey, this is here. We're all here. And a lot of the other gay people on the staff will join me. And so we just sort of introduce ourselves, you know?
So what's the best part about cruise life?
The best part of cruise life is that you meet people from all over the world.
And they're there usually for a week and that's it?
It depends on how long the cruise is. But I also meet the people that I work with, room stewards and cooks. And they're there for like 10 months. I mean, these people work like crazy.
Yeah.
I work very little. I have a very cushy job on the cruise ship. And, you know, I make sure that I tip very well so that nobody thinks I'm an asshole because we have a very cushy job. But, you know, I just meet cool people and other entertainers, dancers and singers. And
now, there are other shows going on the boat.
Oh, yeah, there's many shows. There's a production cast. There's usually a magician or a circus show. And then there's one-offs. They'll have jugglers come on or they'll have a singer come on. And then there's different lounges. So there's a piano player, a singer who sings in a lounge. But there's usually like eight singers four singers and eight dancers in the production cast, and they do these super awesome, cheesy, like, musical reviews.
Yep. so there's
cheesy.
No, like, big musical going on while you all are on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a big musical review.
Right, but I mean, you're not doing, like they did on the Tonys.
No,
like
they're not doing
Hairspray.
No.
Or something like that.
No, on other ships they do, Norwegian ships, but on the ship that I work on, they do this thing called, it's not called On Broadway, it's called, Band on the Run, and it's all, like, 70s, it's a 70s musical review, and I watch it every week.
Yes.
I sit in the same seat.
Yes.
All the performers know that I'm going to be in the same seat, and they end up all doing bits at me.
Love it.
From the stage. It makes me so happy. It's literally like a big plate of delicious cheese.
So, and this is where you met Megan Murphy.
Yes, where I met Megan, but she was one of those ships where they do like a real show.
Right.
Not that that's not a real show, but you know what I'm saying, like a scripted show. And that's where I met Megan on the Norwegian Jade. And so, yeah, you get to meet cool people, and I get to go to cool places and go to the beach every day, and you know, I get to be employed as an actor for 4.5 months, and
yeah,
with, you know, they pay a lot of expenses, so
yeah.
it's great. It's a great gig.
What's the worst part of being on a cruise?
Being away from you.
Aww, that was so quick. That was so quick.
Well, it is. The worst part is being away from our home. Like, being away, you know, like, I love it. It's great, but I do have to gear myself up from being away from the nook, from being away from the house, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the, you know, boo-hoo, poor me, but it's the plight of an actor is that we have to go where the work is.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so, I get work here in Chicago, too, but this is a good gig. It pays me really well, and so I have to go.
Yeah.
But I do miss being home.
You miss being
especially
home.
Since you guys had such a mild winter.
Yeah, we had a gorgeous winter. We won't tell you all about it.
It's
we'll
right.
Actually just, like,
that's right. I was on the beaches of Costa Maya.
You were.
Yes.
You were much. You will always be better where you are.
I also met, there was a passenger, and we don't fraternize with passengers, but I had sort of a very chaste romance with a passenger.
Yeah.
And that was really a fun adventure, and we're still in contact. Maybe I'll keep people I'll keep people informed because I'm actually going to Atlantic City to visit him.
Ooh,
yeah, he's really cute. He was wearing a bow tie, and he was
now
sitting at the edge of a bar.
Anymore,
no, he's
so
not exactly.
I know you're not a worker anymore.
Exactly. So he was wearing a bow tie, and he had a shaved head and a really beautiful face. And I said that I liked his bow tie, and then we spent the rest of the week hanging out together.
Love it. So now you can go and let me entertain you in Atlantic City.
Exactly. He lives on the Jersey Shore.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, he's not like a Jersey Shore kid.
He's not a schnookie.
No, it's Snooki.
Is it Snooki?
It's not Snooki. She's not Jewish.
She's pregnant there right now, right?
She is
so
pregnant.
She gets Snooki.
She got schnookered.
She got schnookered and schnookied.
No, his name's Kevin, and he's adorable, and so that's part of the adventure.
Yeah.
And so, I wish that I had, I mean, I do have some more sordid stories to tell. I mean, I had various dalliances, but, you know.
We'll come back to a few of those.
Yeah.
I want to hear a couple of dalliances, but we have to
pepper them in.
Yeah, pepper them in. We have to do something civilized, which is the news, and we should just say the news and what's going on in the theater scene, and Mitchell and I, if you're hearing, we're in a car, which we do very rarely.
Yeah, but we're podcasting in the car.
We're podcasting from the car, because we just went to go to the Goodman Theater to see Immediate Family, written by the openly gay and black and beautiful Paul Oakley Stovall, who will be on the next podcast, and we're going to talk about the show, but thumbs up, right?
Thumbs up, Paul. Yeah. Oakley Stovall wrote such a beautiful play that is so, with such instantly recognizable people and such honest...
It's kind of a new gay play.
It's a new gay play, but it's also a new family play, and
it's a new black play.
And it's a new...
It's funny,
and it's a modern family play. It's about all of our families.
Yeah.
It just happens to be about an African-American family in Chicago.
Yep.
And there happens to be a gay character. But really, it's really about all of our families and the way in which we talk to each other, the way in which our lives change as we get older and we become our authentic selves.
Yep.
And I'm really proud of him.
Yeah.
I loved it. I mean, people get a chance to see it. It's freaking funny. An amazing performance by Nicole Brooks. I mean, everybody was great, but Nicole Brooks sort of stands out.
And cute little Patrick Sarb, who was
Patrick
in Xena Live, too. For those of you who saw the Xena shows, he played Non, my sidekick.
Yeah, I mean, just amazing. Yeah,
I'm giving a plug now, because we're not talking to Paul till next week, and it's a limited run, but it is running all of July. So, but get your tickets now and head on down to the Goodman
Theater.
And
can I tell you what I loved, one other thing I loved about it? Especially compared to the fact that At the Goodman right now is a 4-hour production of The Iceman Cometh by Eugene O'Neill,
yeah.
Which, you know, by all accounts is quite brilliant. I'm at an age in which brevity is incredibly important to me.
Yes.
And this play was 100 minutes, so an hour and 40 minutes, in and out, beautifully done, paced beautifully by director Felicia Rashad of Cosby fame.
That's right. Claire Huxtable.
Claire Huxtable. I mean, so the brevity of the play was part of the beauty of it for me, because I could really enjoy it and I could sink my teeth into it, and there's a lot of meat, and I wasn't there for 4 hours.
Exactly.
I know that sounds shallow, especially from a theater person, but I don't know if I don't always have to sit for 4 hours in a theater.
I don't always have to sit in a theater for 4 hours.
Nope. But run out to see it if you get it.
Run out to see it. And there's some other really great shows, too, going on. There's a lot of theater right now.
A lot of theater.
Hit the theater. We're going to tell you what's going on in the news. And then back with Mitchell Fain here on The Queercast.
Yay.
Get ready to put on your dancing shoes. Dancing Queen, the musical extravaganza that will have you dancing in the aisles to the very best of ABBA. And the greatest hits of the 70s. Dancing Queen, June 14th through 24th at Chicago's new Riverfront Theater. For tickets, call 888-556-9484 or visit riverfronttheater.com. That's riverfronttheater.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News.
An attorney for former Florida Governor Charlie Crist said an ex-party chair tried to extort Crist with allegations that he's gay. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement distributed a report that showed former state Republican Party chair Jim Greer wanted Crist to change his deposition in a case investigating Greer. Crist was married in 2008 to Carol Rome.
A group of gay men interested in Alpha Kappa Alpha, or AKA, known as the Nyakas, is threatening to file a lawsuit against the sorority, alleging homophobia and gender discrimination. AKA is the oldest and most renowned sorority founded for African-American women. It was founded in 1908 at Howard University. News of the Nyakas first surfaced a couple years ago when men founded unofficial chapters of AKA at Texas Southern University and Prairie View A&M.
U.S. Representative Mike Quigley, the Democrat from Illinois, and Senator John Kerry, the Democrat from Massachusetts, are among more than five dozen legislators who signed a letter urging the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, to revise its policy banning gay and bisexual men from donating blood. Quigley and Kerry have led bicameral efforts calling for a revised policy, first sending a letter to HHS in June of 2010. That same month, the HHS Advisory Committee on Blood Safety and Availability reviewed the ban and recommended the policy be changed.
The Hillcrest Brewing Company, which is being promoted as the world's first out and proud LGBT brewery, is opening in San Diego's Hillcrest neighborhood. The Hillcrest Brewing Company will serve homemade microbrews on tap, as well as wine and a rotating selection from other local microbreweries.
Campus Pride has reviewed more than 300 colleges and universities, according to LGBT friendliness. More than two dozen factors were taken into consideration, including course offerings, housing, policies. And among the 28 schools that received a top rating of 5 stars are the Ohio State University, Stanford University, Indiana University, Dartmouth College, Princeton University, and the University of Chicago.
In New York City, the police department has announced changes to its patrol guide that are aimed at providing more respectful treatment of transgender and other gender nonconforming residents. Lesbian City Council Speaker Christine Quinn announced changes at the council's annual LGBT Pride event.
In Missouri, Christian Republican State Representative Zach Wyatt recently came out against his state's Don't Say Gay bill and then came out himself. Wyatt called the measure horrible while adding that he was tired of anti-gay bigotry being shown from both sides of the aisle on gay issues. He also apologized for taking the GOP position on an anti-bullying bill in an interview and for voting against a non-discrimination bill.
State Rep. Deborah Mell, one of the three openly gay members of the Illinois General Assembly, has been diagnosed with breast cancer. Mell, who is 43, represents the 40th District and the city's northwest side. The cancer is stage 1. She is gathering information about treatment options.
Lambda Legal filed an appeal on a petition for post-conviction relief in the Iowa Supreme Court on behalf of an HIV-positive Iowa man, Nick Rhodes. Rhodes received 25 years in prison and lifetime registration as a sex offender after having a one-time sexual encounter with another man during which they used a condom.
Gay porn star Eric Rhodes, who had worked with Falcon, Mustang, and Raging Stallion Studios, passed away at the age of 30 in New York. The cause of death was a heart attack. Rhodes appeared to be in a very dark place. On his blog, he candidly talked about using drugs and steroids.
The Pentagon will organize its first ever event to celebrate Pride Month 9 months after the military ended Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Details are still being worked out, but Defense Secretary Leon Panetta wants to honor the contributions of LGBT service members.
In world news, in Colombia, a gang gunned down 34-year-old hairdresser Juan Francisco Fernandez Cuello in Barranquilla. The killing is the fifth gay-related murder in the city this year. Suspects on motorcycles shot at Fernandez Cuello as he left a venue in the Villa San Pedro area with some friends. Barranquilla is the birthplace of actress Sofia Vergara and singer Shakira.
In South Africa, reports state that transgender activist Thapelo McCuddle has been murdered. Some reports say McCuddle, age 23, was completely beheaded in the attack. However, it appears the police filed documents that his throat was severely slit. Two men attacked him for being gay and transgender.
In Brazil, organizers estimated more than 3 million people attended Sao Paulo's Pride Parade June 10th, and the world's biggest Pride celebration. The Southern Hemisphere's largest city has celebrated a Pride every year since 1997.
Ontario has become the first Canadian province to recognize gender identity in its human rights legislation. In a rare show of unity, the measure, which all three parties in legislature supported, passed unanimously.
In entertainment news, transgender model and two-time America's Next Top Model contestant Isis King is among those featured in American Apparel's line of equality-themed T-shirts. King can be seen in the ads wearing T-shirts with such slogans as Gay OK and Legalize Gay. The new line is being done in partnership with GLAAD for Pride Month.
Lindsay Lohan's car crashed into an 18-wheeler, delaying her arrival on the set of her Lifetime TV movie Liz and Dick by a few hours. The accident was unusual, especially in light of the fact that production provides a limousine to drive the actress to and from the set of the movie every day.
The third season of the Starz hit gladiator drama Spartacus will be its last. Spartacus: War of the Damned will arrive in January 2013, and 10 episodes will air.
Good Morning America's Robin Roberts has revealed that she's dealing with a second cancer battle. 5 years ago, she dealt with breast cancer. Now she is battling MDS, a disease of the blood and bone marrow. Cheyenne Jackson and Rob Lowe are the newest additions to the movie Behind the Candelabra, a film about the late pianist Liberace. Michael Douglas and Matt Damon are starring in the movie, which is based on a memoir by Liberace's longtime secret lover, Scott Thorson.
The premiere of the reboot of the TV show Dallas paid off for network TNT. The episode garnered 6.8 million viewers, making it the number one scripted series premiere on all of cable so far in 2012.
Actress Lucy Lawless has pled guilty to trespassing on an oil drilling ship with other Greenpeace activists. The Spartacus and Xena Warrior Princess star could receive up to 3 years in jail. The activists had spent 77 hours on top of a 170-foot drilling tower before they were arrested and charged with burglary.
And John Travolta's former pilot, Doug Goterba, is planning on writing a tell-all book about his alleged relationship with the actor. Goterba, who is 60, has reportedly lined up two writers for his book. The actor allegedly had a long-term relationship with Goterba in the 80s before marrying Kelly Preston in 1991. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, this is your girl Lady Gaga, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
weird,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 18th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Oedipus El Rey is a sexy modern Latino take on the Oedipus story. $15 tickets available for previews of Oedipus El Rey at Victory Gardens for June 29th through July 8th only. Use the code WINDY at victorygardens.org.
Don't miss Immediate Family, a new American play written by Paul Oakley Stovall and directed by Tony Award winner Felicia Rashad. Playing now through August 5th at Goodman Theater. Visit ImmediateFamilyPlay.com. Modern Family meets soul food in Immediate Family, a funny, heartwarming show set in Chicago's Hyde Park.
The stars are out for an evening of musical enchantment in the Johnny Mercer Celebration Concert featuring Tony-nominated Broadway star Ann Hampton Calloway, award-winning guest artists, emerging songwriters, and audio and video clips of Johnny Mercer himself. Don't miss this one-night-only event Saturday, June 23rd at 8 o'clock at Pick Stagger Concert Hall in Evanston. For tickets, visit tic.northwestern.edu.
Main Stage in Rogers Park presents 80s new wave artist Howard Jones, performing albums Dream Into Action and Humans Live back-to-back on July 10th. And don't miss Queer as Folk cast member Hal Sparks in five stand-up shows September 6th, 7th, and 8th. Tickets at mainstage.com. That's mainestage.com.
David Drake's The Night Larry Kramer Kissed Me, a beautiful play about a gay man's coming into a life of protest and glory, is presented in a 20th anniversary production by Glitterati Productions and Pride Plays and Films. Chad Ryan stars in The Night Larry Kramer Kissed Me, June 20th through July 1st at Luna Central, 3914 North Clark Street. For tickets, visit pridefilmsandplays.com.
And don't miss the most anticipated new musical of the summer. Eastland tells the true Chicago story of the passengers on the ill-fated boat that capsized on the Chicago River in 1915. Unforgettable melodies and soaring harmonies weave a musical tapestry of colorful characters, giving voice to the victims and heroes of that fateful day. For tickets, go to lookingglasstheater.org, now playing through July 29th. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead, you're not alone. Post a comment.
White lips, pale face, breathing in snowflakes, burnt lungs, sour taste. Lights gone, days end, struggling to pay rent, long nights, strange men. They say she's in the class 18, stuck in her daydream. Been this way since 18, but lately her face seems slowly sinking, wasting, crumbling like pastries. And they scream the worst things in life come free to us, 'cause we're just under the upper hand. I'm going mad for a couple grams, and she don't want.
So we're back, home, home.
Home, home.
Cars in the garage.
Cars in the garage, we're on the couch.
And, gosh, there's a lot going on. And one news story that you and I haven't gotten to talk about, and we didn't do it in the news because I kind of wanted to talk about it, and this was the statement this past week from Carrie Underwood, where superstar, country superstar, it's really interesting.
I was just talking about that at dinner last night.
Having had Shelley Wright on in our previous podcast, to who's coming to town, and you know, one of her big things was she said, you know, we need more of these straight allies to come out. You know, we need really big superstar country singers to say Shelley Wright's great, and I think she's fantastic. I think it's great that she's gay, you know. And then, like, literally, almost like she secreted the whole freaking thing. And this is not the first time Shelley said it, but then this thing happened last week where Carrie Underwood said that she believes everyone has the right to love publicly. And her quote is, as a married person myself, I don't know what it's like to be told I can't marry somebody I love and I want to marry. I can't imagine how that must feel. I definitely think we should all have the right to love and love publicly the people that we want to love. That's huge.
It's huge, but you know what's interesting?
And what's going to happen to her because of it?
Well, that's interesting. Well, it's interesting. I think she's so huge that nothing's going to happen.
Well, I don't know. Dixie Chicks were really high.
Yeah, but the Dixie Chicks, that happened. Remember, that happened.
It happened during the Bush administration.
And just after 9/11.
It's true.
So people were afraid.
Yes.
And
that's been a decade.
But let me point out this story.
So should we say a decade has changed somewhat that a country singer can say this and not be banned from radio stations? Because that's what happened to the Chicks. They were banned.
But
people called up and said,
remember,
I will never listen to your radio station again if you play them.
But they were talking about something much huger than this. I don't think this is going to have repercussions for Carrie Underwood. And this reminded me, this is what I talked about last night at dinner with some friends. We were reminiscing about going to the Equality Rocks concert in D.C.
Yeah,
in
I was there.
Early 2000.
I was there.
And who was there?
well, everybody was.
Yeah, but
there.
Who was there? That was the hugest
country. Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks,
yes,
who had
he
just
was.
Released a song in which it was controversial because he said that we should love who you choose.
Yeah, because his sister's gay. I met
right.
him that trip.
And that's right. And so there was a little dust up about it.
Right.
But nothing happened to him.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. I wonder if it's not a male-female thing, that like a guy as powerful as Garth Brooks can say something like that. But I don't know. I worry. I wonder if Carrie... I mean, look, I don't want her to have backlash. I want it to be like that she set some sort of cool trend. You know, I'd like her and Taylor Swift and let's just go through who are all
alone.
Them.
I mean, her, Dolly Parton's been very public about... about gay marriage. Taylor Swift has been sort of open about her being a
yeah. Dolly Parton has not played on the airwaves in the same way,
not anymore.
Ruling country music and the way, you know, a Carrie Underwood, you know, is. And I mean, I thought it was super significant. I hope she doesn't have a backlash. I want to say props, girl, for like standing on your platform.
I think she's going to be fine. I think there's going to be more of a backlash against Obama for his. I think we're going to lose the election because of it for Obama, but not so much for Carrie Underwood. I think she'll be fine.
Well, we're not going to lose the election.
I don't know. I'm getting nervous.
All right.
I feel like people are disengaged. I feel like...
although he just had this whole statement come out with immigration that like got all, you know, I mean, his Latino vote is through the roof right now.
But remember, I just spent, as I talked about...
You were on the boats.
With you about being on the ships and being with... And I want to say this in the gentlest possible way.
Sure.
Typical Americans.
Middle class, mainstream Americans.
Yeah, middle class. Yes, mainstream Americans. White, straight,
mm-hmm.
overweight
mm-hmm.
American people.
Mm-hmm.
And they are overwhelmingly anti-Obama.
So, but how was, you were on the boat when Obama, the whole Biden-Obama thing happened with same-sex marriage.
Let me explain to you what happened.
Tell me what happened.
We play this, we do this one particular improv piece, whatever, in which we each get a headline.
Right? Uh-huh.
So one of us gets a headline from People Magazine. One of us gets a headline from the sports page. One of us gets a headline from CNN.com.
Okay.
And then one of us gets a headline from the shipboard paper, the Freestyle Daily.
Okay.
Often, in the political one, someone will shout either Romney wins election or Obama loses or Obama wins or something about that.
Uh-huh.
And every time... the response to the defeat of Obama
mm-hmm.
was, I don't know how to explain it except to say, frightening.
Mm.
It was frightening to be on stage when that was happening. It mm-hmm. felt, it was different than any other, like I've been doing these ships for a while, and I've performed in front of lots of audience and have said many controversial things
mm-hmm.
on stage that garnered reactions from the audience. The reaction of these audiences, thousands of people at a time, was so vitriolic and violent.
Mm-hmm.
It felt... we had to eventually deal with it. We literally, as performers, had to deal with the violent, almost... mob mentality of kill Obama.
Mm.
I mean, and sometimes we would get suggestions as violent as that, kill Obama.
Wow.
It was, and that's...
Which is an arrestable.
That is, yes. And that is mainstream. I mean, it got to the point where Sarah, who was sort of getting the suggestions from the audience, had to go, okay, hold up, people. We are not solving this election at a fucking comedy show on a cruise ship, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody can relax, okay? Right. Nobody's hearing you. There's no pollsters on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Listening. But it was a clear message for mainstream America
mm-hmm.
that not only do they not want Obama, they don't even want him alive. I mean, it's violent. There's a violence. And I think it's racism. I'm just going to say it. I think it's racism.
I think so, too. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, we live in this bubble.
Right. We live in our bubble.
We live in a bubble inside of a bubble inside of a bubble. the little tiny bubble is our little nook.
Right, exactly. And then the bigger bubble is the house.
And the bigger...
Andersonville.
There's Andersonville. Then there's the bubble of Chicago. And I think that, you know, and even Illinois. And I think we live in this, you know, this very liberal, Democrat-centric. And I have friends, you know, who are... would not consider themselves Democrats, and might consider themselves independent. Don't think Republican is a four-letter word. You know, did not like George W. Bush, maybe, you know, but who, you know, feel if you have a differing idea at all, even being independent in Illinois or in Chicago, it's like you're looked at like...
I'm just saying, because of our bubble.
So I just think we live in this where that, it's... And I came from Tennessee,
right,
from the reddest county in one of the reddest states in the United States. So when I go home, it's like I kind of get balanced out that like everybody is not like me and you.
Trust me, that's what I'm saying. Like I think I live even more intensely because I grew up in, you know, New England, which is, you know, sort of stereotypically Democratic, although I grew up in a fairly blue-collar town, but blue-collar Democrats.
Yep, but and, Rhode Island's been doing good stuff these days, so we like them.
Yeah. but it's more the sort of New Englandness of where I grew up.
Right.
But to be surrounded by the rest of America, mm-hmm, on these ships,
mm-hmm,
and to hear what they say,
mm-hmm,
and know that they get their news directly from Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was one night I was trying to get a suggestion from the audience, and I said, "Can I get a suggestion? Something you see on CNN?" And it was silent. And I was like, "Anything." Does nobody watch TV? And then just somebody from the back yelled, "We don't watch CNN." And so I took a beat and I went, "That's painfully obvious, sir."
Yeah.
So I'm nervous.
Mm.
I'm nervous about it.
Mm.
I'm nervous about it. There's all these, you know, sort of blocking people from voting, mm-hmm, different groups that would traditionally vote Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
All these initiatives to make it more difficult for people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very scary. I think we live in a very scary time.
Mm-hmm.
And the, like I said, the feeling of being on stage as an audience, I'm going to say this word and I know that it's going to be controversial, but it felt like a lynch mob,
mm-hmm,
in the audience. That sense of like,
mm-hmm,
oh, I mean, it just...
No, I believe you me. He is.
It was frightening.
He is a controversial figure. And I would always try to spin it.
But I think it's controversial. It's like the old Public Enemy, I think was the name of one of their albums, Fear of a Black Planet. There is part of America, mm-hmm, a huge chunk of white, pardon the expression, Southern America, who is so who are all furious. The people who still ride the people who still have the Confederate flag hanging outside their house are not in the North.
Okay, but wait, can I tell you this? I had to, for a friend of mine while I was just home 3 weeks ago, they called me and said, "My kid is doing a report on the Civil War, and could you just bring me something back with the Confederate flag?" My brother and I looked one whole damn day. We went to every truck stop. We went to the Cracker Barrel. I haven't walked in the Cracker Barrel in 15 years. There was no effing Confederate flag anywhere. And I was like, "Well, you can tell your son that I'm so sorry. So far, I haven't found him one. And number two, maybe there's been some progress because nobody had one." And I'm telling you,
I'm sure that there has been progress. But you know what I'm saying?
I found one eventually.
What I'm saying is that there's this idea that like...
But Michigan is also very bad.
Yes, very
and
bad.
And so are, you know, there's areas
Southern Indiana.
In Minnesota and there's areas in
All I'm
Indiana
saying is that there's
and
a, that,
Ohio.
That nobody want that there's this fear in our country,
yep,
even though it's happening,
yep,
the browning of our country.
Yep.
Bless, as I sit here with my olive skin.
You're lovely tan. It doesn't make you Hispanic.
It kind of does. If you're a Sephardic Jew, you are ultimately Hispanic.
Yes.
Right? Spanish Jews?
I don't know.
Yes. A Mediterranean.
okay. So, you're Mediterranean 4 months out of the year.
Yes, I do. so my point is that there is a large chunk of this country,
yes,
that just the idea that there is other in the White House is literally like a dagger through their racist hearts.
Oh, I agree.
And so it's the sign of the end, the world as we know it, that the entire country is going to just become a welfare state of like welfare, like the racist sort of connotations of having a black man as president of the United States. It reminds me a little bit of during the late 1970s, during the rock disco wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what did rock represent? That sort of like
white
classic,
male.
Sort of like, you know, Zeppelin and yep. you know, Fog Hat, that kind of, and then disco was the music of urban blacks and gays,
right?
And so that rock disco of the late 1970s was really about, we want the dark people and the queers off our television and off our radio. When they blew up those records in the ballpark here in Chicago, mm-hmm. that's what it was about, which eventually the guys who did it have acknowledged, by the
right.
way,
right?
And so it's the same thing that's happening now. There's this fear that the other is taking over. Well, guess what? The other is taking over because it's called evolution, mm-hmm. and you can't stop it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. That's why there's this violence, this vitriol. Mm-hmm. You know, people who have been the majority for so long, which is why we can't let majorities vote on minority rights. It's everything this country is against, mm-hmm. and that's that section of our country that is fearful and furious, mm-hmm. that what they think is their rightful God, in quotation marks, mm-hmm. privilege is being taken away, mm-hmm. by Hispanics or blacks or queers or whomever,
mm-hmm.
others are reacting in such a violent, the fact that that guy heckled the president of the United States in the Rose Garden the other day, and you know, Obama, he's such a classy guy, simply said, you know, I'm speaking right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, look, it's all not going to change in 4 years. And he's very aware of that. And I think the world is very aware of that. And but I think, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, the people who hated Bush did not hate Bush in the way the people who hate Obama hate Obama.
No, it's
and yet,
crazy.
You know, I just want
there to be a dialogue about it, because I want there to be a dialogue about that, because it is part of it. They can talk about, we want smaller government and we want the government out of our lives. And it's like, no, you don't. You
yep.
want the black man out of the White House.
Yeah.
That's what you want. So let's talk about that. Yep. Now, I'm not saying I agree with that, or that's a valid point, but it's the honest opinion. That's what yep. that's your honest opinion. So let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop talking about these other things that you've been told to talk about by Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
These points that you hear from Fox News, which, by the way, on the ships is the only thing people watch.
Yep. It doesn't hurt to watch it every now and again.
Oh, no, I watch it a lot.
Yeah.
I watch it a lot to find out what...
It's good to know.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
Anyway, that's my rant.
They have a new openly gay lesbian on Fox News now. One of the commentators. I can't remember her name, but I just read about her the other day. I have to figure out who she is, and I'll come back to that.
Supposedly Shepard Smith is gay, but he's not out. Do you know that?
I don't.
They just did the 50 most powerful gays and lesbians.
Yeah.
And Shepard Smith is a Fox News guy.
Yeah.
And, but he's not out. So the fact that Out Magazine listed him as one of, maybe it was their sort of passive aggressive way of outing him, you know, because they also included Anderson Cooper, who's not actually
right.
out either.
Right.
But that's curious. I mean, Thomas Roberts is out. Curious. Don Lemon is out, as far as, you know, being newscasters.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But Shepard Smith, who did, to his credit, on Fox News, come out publicly for gay marriage.
Yeah.
Even though he's not technically out.
More people are coming out for it, you know. I mean, there is a little bit of a turn and a little bit of a tide right now, and I feel good about that.
Oh,
I mean,
think there is a turn. I think it's starting to just look as ugly as it is.
Yeah,
it's starting to look ugly.
It's
just starting to look hateful. And
yeah.
And ultimately, I think there is a consciousness of the generational shift.
Yeah.
You know, even amongst, they did a poll, I think it was earlier last year, of students at Christian universities,
mm-hmm.
and even you know, who like the freshman class,
yeah,
and even their opinions on gays and lesbians have
they've grown
changed.
Up in a different society, you know, they really have. For even with
post Will and Grace world,
they're the post Ellen, post Will and Grace, current right. Modern Family world.
Right.
You know, they
yeah.
have images. They are not us. They are not the soap world. You know,
right.
they don't remember Billy Crystal being
right.
like the only gay man, or
right.
Paul Lynde,
right.
who wasn't
wants,
really
right.
gay on Bewitched, or
right.
you know, or whatever. But hey, I want to. We had a listener who called in, I'm gonna let our listener. Who called in, give his little question, because he called in and he had a question for me on the show. So, cool. Di, roll the question.
Amy, I'm wondering, what is the theme song you open Windy City Queercast with? I absolutely love it, but can't figure it out, can't find it anywhere, and I'm Just wondering.
So, okay, so our opening song, which nobody has asked about, I don't think ever. At first, I thought that it was just something that the Maiderville Studios, the Stewed Tomatoes, made up for us when we went from Les By Gay Radio on to Windy City Radio on WSBC. WCKG, and we were on FM. Speaking of white male radio station, we were on that for a while on Sunday nights. And I called my editor and I was like, yeah, I need to respond to this guy's question and say that, you know, that's just a made up song, so no wonder you can't find it. And Di said to me, because Di is the higher power of the podcast, Di said to me, the knower of everything. Di said to me, no, the song is actually called Got a Thing, G-O-T-T-A, Got a Thing, by For Real People.
And it's For Real.
For Real People. F-O-R-E-A-L, all one word, For Real People. So anyhow, that is the song. I believe at the time our music critic, who was my co-host on Windy City Radio, Peter Maverick, probably pulled that song and we used a sample of it for our opener. So that is a little bit of what you hear play in awesome. The opening of the show. So it's a good cool. question.
It is a really good question.
Very good question. So I like to be informative, but we're also being controversial.
I know, informing. I know I'm going to get a bunch of letters about this.
Hey, and I also want to say congratulations, because it was a really big weekend, folks, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, because I know, you know, Mitchell and I went to the theater, and he has had other shenanigans that he's done yes. last night. But yesterday day, we crowned our 10th, I cannot believe it, our 10th Windy City Gay Idol. You know, a lot of towns, a lot of cities did this gay idol thing. You know, there's been other gay idol competitions in other cities. But I think Chicago is the only one who has been doing it for, we started doing it the season after the first season of American Idol, because they're in year 11, but we
right.
are in year 10, because we couldn't obviously come up with the idea before them. So Robert Hughes became our new idol. He was TJ, passed his crown, but you're always an idol. Once an idol, always an idol. But Robert...
TJ, who eventually yeah. played and sang with Megan.
Of course, I know.
Did you know that?
I did yeah. know that. I was there. And TJ went on to perform a lot of different places. Well, hopefully this will be a great year of performance for everybody to get to know Robert Hughes. It's cool. We got another guy idol, which is unusual. We've had a lot of idols, gay idols the past few years. We haven't had a woman in a while. We had a string of women.
Right.
Now we're having a string of guys.
Full disclosure, when I judged a couple of weeks ago for the semifinals,
yep.
I knew that Robert was in it. And of course, as a judge, I don't have any say over who wins. It's all audience
right.
Voting, but you know, we just voice our opinions and get to watch and stuff. But Robert is actually the nephew
uh-huh.
of a very good friend of mine.
Oh, cool.
And I knew that he was entering, and I thought, oh, how fun. He's just moved to Chicago.
Yeah, he's very new. He hasn't even been here a year.
No, he hasn't even been here a year. He has this huge support system, though, of his uncle's friends, like all of us, of these older gay men.
Yep.
And we just love him. He's such a... he's a sweetheart. But I had never heard him sing.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh God, you know, here I am judging, and you know, all of my friends were there to hear Robert sing, and I thought, oh my goodness, what if I don't like him, or what if I have criticism? Then he opened up his mouth.
Yep.
And he has the most beautiful, soulful.
Yeah. Who's he like? Who do you compare him to? Because I always love your comparisons.
He's got a little bit of like old school Al Green. He's got a little soul singer in him. He's got a little JT.
He's got a little Tennessee in him. Because I hear he's from Tennessee. Yep. So I'm going to be trying to interview him as a fellow Southern boy. We're not all bad.
He's
all
so charming and lovely. He opened up his mouth to sing and I burst into tears because I just didn't expect it. And so he won, and I am so
excited to kind of get to know him and to help hook him up with some great things.
He's a real, real sweetheart.
Yeah. Well, we always have the best idols. We just really do. And we have so many great people who compete every year.
I know. There's so many people that I've seen, like, year after year get really close. And it's so fun to watch them come back and try something new
and grow.
You can hear that they've listened to the criticism. Mm-hmm. You know, gentle criticism. We don't really criticize.
But positive feedback. Constructive feedback, I think, is what... You know, we don't really have any nasty judges, you know.
We'd have people Kirk can be a little nasty. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But every now and again, that's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, clear and direct. I think we have some clear and direct people. But I think, you know, generally it's just wanting to give people great positive feedback because they come back and back and back. And we want to have a great gay idol, but we also just, it's such a celebration of how much great GLBT talent and diversity there is in the community.
It was very diverse this year. It really was. I mean, there was shapes and sizes and
always is color.
Femi girls and dykey girls and butch boys and femi boys and transgendered people and various colors and races
and age. It's just ages. Great.
It was really fabulous.
Yeah.
And I was just really proud of Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
He's just so new to town. It's such a great, like, you know, when you make a big move in your life, you want the universe to sort of give you some sign that says
you're supposed to
be here and you've made the right choice.
Well, he's going to have quite a year. Hopefully.
I think
you're going to have to help me because we want to get him lots of great appearances and get him some great opportunities to sing out in public and do his thing. And
he'll
be going
with Megan at one of her big red shows.
That would be awesome.
Because they're singing at a party together. They've been hired to sing at a friend's 50th birthday party.
Well, there you go.
Very swanky, gay. You know what I'm talking about, boys. It's an gay party with all the, like, crazy, wealthy, well-dressed gay boys.
Yeah.
The only reason why I'm invited is because I'm Megan's plus one. But
there you go.
But Megan and Rob are going to sing. So hopefully they'll work out some duet that they can do at her show.
I would love that. And he will be invited. He is invited to perform at Vancouver Pride in August. So hopefully he will plan his Vancouver trip with the wonderful people at Tourism Vancouver to go and perform and make a name for himself in Vancouver. It's one of my favorite cities in the world. I love Vancouver.
Also, he's cute, boys. I'm just saying.
Oh, adorable. Maybe he's single? Do we know yet? I don't know.
I mean, I do know, but I don't want to give his business on TV.
Okay, let's not give his business.
I mean, on the radio. So I'm just going to say he's super cute.
He's super cute. So we have a new gay idol. Now, what did you do? You kind of swung Megan up in the car because Megan was judging, and you headed out to meet a pip.
I got to tell you this, though. This is what happened. So I don't have a car in the city, so I borrowed a friend's car because we were going out to Tinley Park, which is out in Homewood. It's actually like Country Club Hills.
It's like an hour outside of Chicago.
Yes. And so to get out there...
But it's a great big amphitheater.
It's not that big.
Well, it's an amphitheater. At the time, it was. It doesn't seem that big anymore because now we've got Millennium Park.
So I borrowed my friend's car, and then something happened. The car broke. And so then we were late. So then we couldn't... leisurely do this thing. So then we had to take a cab and meet downtown to get on the metro. So there was that. Then we take the metro. That's fine. It lets us off in Homewood. There's no way, as it turns out, even though Google Maps said otherwise, to get from the Homewood metro stop to this Tinley Park. It's actually called Country Club Hills Theater, which is sort of like the broke down Ravinia.
Yep.
And people were very nice, but it's like,
last time I was there, I saw Enrique Iglesias and Cher. It was the gayest concert ever. And the time before, I saw the Indigo Girls at like a Lilith Fair with Jerry Dye.
I think we're talking about two different places.
No. There's a hill of grass, and then there's
some concrete.
Then there's some concrete, and there's like a shell.
Yeah, but there's no cover for anyone. There's no cover.
Oh.
No, there's only cover for the performer. There's no cover for anybody sitting in seats.
Yeah,
this is open.
I think you
went to the World Music Theater.
I don't know.
I think you did. This is different.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
This is broke down.
Okay.
And people are lovely, the facility itself, but like, okay, so we finally get there.
Yep.
So we had free tickets to go see Gladys Knight.
And the Pips.
Because one of Megan's friends is one of the Pips, right? Because the Pips are deceased, right? He's been
the
doing
Pips
it for years.
The original Pips
are deceased, right?
Not the Pips.
Or they're retired. So like, she had, you know, three backup singers. So it had been raining, so there was some issues with the monitors. They got wet. But it was dry when we got there. We're sitting on these benches outside. So it starts late.
It's a big-ass musical day for Megan Murphy.
They also have a curfew at this place, so it doesn't matter. You could be in the middle of a song, and at 10:30, sound goes out. Done. So starts late. D.L. Hughley, the comedian, opened.
Yeah, how was
we
he?
Missed that because we couldn't. Okay. We had to take this 2.5-hour journey out to Nightmare Town, where some cracked-out cab driver drove us from. We had to call some suburban cab company to take us from the metro station to this place. Anyway, so we sit down. She starts 20 minutes late through no fault of her own. She was amazing.
Because she's Gladys fucking Knight.
She really was amazing. And the background was great. And Neil, Megan's friend Neil, was amazing. And he was so sweet and got the tickets. And they were so nice. And it was very casual. And she sang some great songs, some great hits. Heard it through the grapevine. And If I Were Your Woman. And she sang Best Thing That Ever Happened. And she sang... the songs from the movie. She sang On and On from the movie Claudine and Make Yours a Happy Home, and she sang her amazing cover of The Way We Were, which she's the only one who can sing that song besides Babs. And then the skies opened up.
Oh, no.
And then we were like drowned rats. I mean, like biblical, biblical rain.
Oh, God.
And there's no cover.
No.
There's nowhere to go.
No, Jerry, I'm telling you, Jerry, Di, and I were there for Lilith Fair because we had ponchos. We sat
plastic
in ponchos,
rain ponchos.
In plastic rain ponchos and watched, like, Sarah McLachlan.
We tried to,
and
so
I was like, you are
it started
such a
to
lesbian.
Rain. And she was like, all right, well, we better get, she's like, we're going to have to get out of here, but we got to get to it. So she quickly got to Midnight Train to Georgia, no talk. She just got through it and then stood there in the rain for us and finished Midnight Train to Georgia. Lightning is happening. I mean, it is a deluge. I mean, it is coming down, and she's standing in the rain singing for us. They're covering all the monitors.
She's having her Diana Ross moment in the
park. She's having, right, her Central Park moment. And then she got the hell off stage, and then we didn't meet her because she was, she's almost 70 years old, and she's wet and cold, and so she was not, you know, sort of meeting people, which I get. But I was standing there waiting to see Megan's friend Neil, and up from the stairs comes D.L. Hughley, who we didn't see any of his show, but I wanted to say hi. So it was like, I got all like butch with him, and I was like, good show, man. Really good job. And he came over and he shook my hand. He's like, oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I missed the rain. So I had a little moment with D.L. Hughley. It was very nice.
Did you get a picture?
I didn't get a picture, but he has a very...
He's a handsome
guy. He's very handsome. He's a little chunky. Chunkier than you'd think, but a very handsome man, and a very strong, cordial handshake.
Hmm.
Like a really sort of lovely, like, makes eye cut. It was a really lovely moment. We had, like, nice conversation. And then the journey...
Did it make you feel a little twing-twing?
A little, yeah, because he's a very handsome man.
I can tell it made you feel a little twing-twing.
And then the journey home from this... here's the thing. I'm supposed to live in a city. I mean, I grew up in a small town. I get it. Lovely. It's adorable. It's quiet. Your children can... You don't have to lock your back doors. Your children can run around. Right. I will never... I'm convinced that in a past life, I was suffocated by my husband in the suburbs. Because, you know...
Alone.
What? Literally, somebody like...
Abandoned.
I was like... I was suffocated and killed like in a double murder...
I don't mean to laugh about that.
Homicide, suicide in the suburbs.
I just know
in a past
mean.
Life because... Yeah. The minute I get to suburbs, my breath gets short. I can't breathe. I want to get out. So we're drowned rats. We have to walk in the pouring rain about a half a mile. I'm talking...
Wait, no, a pip didn't put you in a limo and take you somewhere?
No, nobody put us in anything. About a half a mile in the... I'm telling you, if anybody that was around last night, torrential rain. I'm soaked to a Dunkin' Donuts that's open 24 hours, in which they don't have any decaf coffee. thank you. By this point, it's like 10:30, 10:45. It's almost 11 o'clock.
It wasn't raining here at 11 o'clock.
It was a nightmare. To call a cab, another suburban cab. The same cracked out guy comes to get us, to drive us back to the metro station, where we then have missed the 10:54 train or whatever it was, and had to wait an hour in this deserted train station in Homewood for the metro train back to Chicago, where we get out at Millennium Park. It's still raining downtown. And there are no cabs because there was something going on. There was a game or something. No cabs. We wandered around downtown Chicago, Michigan Avenue, State Street, for half an hour. No cabs. Finally, we get on the red line to come up north, and it is every drunk amateur asshole in Chicago. One guy I had to elbow so that he didn't throw up on me. I had to elbow him to make him go in a different direction before he threw up on the train. I mean, it was a fucking nightmare.
Oh, my God.
So much so that we got off at Belmont and just took a cab home. So free tickets to see Gladys Knight turned into about a $120 night.
Oh my God.
It was a nightmare.
So the lesson to this is don't go anywhere.
You can't fucking walk to.
You can't go to Tinley Park. Well, you could go to Ravinia because the train will just let you
right
off there.
Right there. I mean, anyway, but despite all of that, when Gladys was singing, she was singing.
You were happy.
Her voice is extraordinary at 68 years old.
Yeah.
That's what Neil said. She's 68 years old. Her voice was extraordinary.
Yeah.
I mean, really untouched by time.
She's one of those.
Yeah, because she's taking care of herself, right? She just lost 60 pounds on Dancing with the Stars.
Right. Man, she was such a beloved... Like, I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but my mom, my dad,
I miss
my
all
brother
things,
watch
gone.
It. They, like, love it. And they were just like, oh,
but
my
she
God,
didn't win,
she was
right?
so beloved.
Who
no,
won?
No, no, no. Oh, don't ask me this. It's not the hot Latin guy that everybody
I was gone. I know
watching.
She was like third or something like that. She got up there.
I think it was a football player or an athlete.
She got up there. She's 68 years old. She lost 60 pounds.
She looked great. She looked gorgeous. She was a crowd favorite.
Anyway,
and
so that was my
weekend.
And when
she went off the show, like the three judges like cried. Like, they were so sad, like, all three of them.
Well, she's so beloved. I mean,
beloved.
She has one of those voices, the minute you hear that warm, thick voice of hers, you know, she's got the, what Megan calls the thickness, right? That there's that quality in her voice that's just full. And so the minute she starts to sing, you're taken away.
It's interesting because, you know, like, there's been those other throaty singers, you know, thick singers, is that what you're calling it, like the Olita Adams, Anita Baker,
right, with
and
like
all
a
these
thickness in their voice,
but none of them have had this classic stand the test of time that
Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle, it's, you know, they've stuck around, and she was great. I mean, she sounded amazing. I mean, Dionne Warwick is another part of that group, but she sort of destroyed her voice with smoking and stuff like that, but not Gladys.
Gladys is the girl.
She's still singing.
She's kicking
anyway,
it.
So it was an interesting weekend to do that, and then Immediate Family. And,
yes. Yes. You know. Ending it on a good note with the Immediate Family. Well, Paul Oakley Stovall will be on our show next week. He will maybe have some... I'll talk to him about the Obamas, because obviously he's around them a lot, and I don't know how much he can talk about that.
Every time I talk to him, I want him to assure me that, like, they're utterly, completely confident.
I think they're utterly and completely confident, but I think they're going to have to work. I think they're going to have to work, and they're going to start doing that work. You know, they don't even know exactly who they're running against yet, and they're trying.
We have to do our work too.
And he's doing it. Yeah, and
I just volunteered actually to help register voters.
There you go.
Because I feel like there's people in this city who need to register to vote.
Yeah.
And they aren't signed up, and I want to help make it
easier. It's going to take people not being complacent.
I have to have you print something out for me, because I have to sort of
do
this online application.
I will do it. But people have to get active. You know, these big elections going on this past weekend in Egypt and Greece, and, you know, in America, we're just so complacent. So I think that it's going to be important for people who felt like they were on this Obama bandwagon and they wanted change and all this kind of stuff to not, like, go, okay, we got him there, now he needs to stay there for 8 years and I'm not going to do anything.
Right.
I think it's going to take...
Or they're disappointed because he didn't accomplish everything that they thought he should.
Yeah. I mean, look, he hasn't accomplished a lot, but he has started doing a bunch of things.
The opposite is true. He's accomplished so much, especially in life.
The expectation is so effing
expectation
high
and also
it's unreal high.
From the minute he became president, they released those memos from the Republican Party saying, no matter what you do, don't let Obama accomplish anything. That's been their goal,
right?
So that they can get him out of office.
And he's,
and despite that,
yeah, he's getting
despite
stuff.
Despite that, he's getting shit done.
He is, and I mean, you know, I mean, even my 103-year-old grandmama said, she says, "Lord, you know, Obama, if he was in a jar, they wouldn't give him air." And
Leave it to Nanny Jackson.
If he was in a jar, they
would
give him air.
Happy Father's Day to your dad.
I talked to my dad.
You did.
Today.
I was thinking about all the dads in my life and all my friends who are dads. So to all the dads.
One of my favorite
there.
Pictures of my father is you and my father at my birthday
party. I love that picture.
Makes me so happy.
I was saying I put on Facebook today that, like, I did not have a good dad. I'm not looking for pity. I did not have a good dad. He was not a good guy. He was a very troubled man and shouldn't have been a father, really. But I mean, I'm glad he procreated.
Thank God he was.
But he was not a good guy. And so I didn't really know him well because he was scary. And so I've always sort of been, growing up, I was sort of afraid of my friends' dads, you know.
Mm.
But there are, I thought about today about the several dads of my friends in my life who I've known now longer than I haven't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A couple who are still alive. One specifically, Mr. O'Malley, who's passed, who taught me later in life what it meant to be a dad and what it meant to be a person who had a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love them very much.
Mm-hmm.
And then also to think about my friends, both gay and straight, but I'm thinking specifically about my straight friends right now, just specifically who are dads
mm-hmm.
in a very traditional
mm-hmm.
way, raising children in which they could, with the approval of most of society, be very traditional in their teachings to not rock the boat or,
mm-hmm.
and they're not. They're raising the next generation of people who are loving and accepting and they're changing the world.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of them.
I do believe, you know, that.
And great to all the gay dads too, of course.
Of course.
But I guess I'm thinking specifically about straight dads and how scary it is. You're afraid you're going to screw them up and you're afraid that you...
Every dad's scared you're going
to
screw them
up. To step out of the box of what I call beer, boobs, and baseball parenting that goes on with, especially with young boys in our culture. I've talked about this before. And my friends who are dads
mm-hmm.
are breaking that mold and saying mm-hmm. what it means to be a man is to love and to...
have honor
and
integrity.
And honor and to take care of those who are...
Be accountable.
Be accountable and take care of people who may be weaker than you or less privileged than you or less
mm-hmm.
fortunate than you. That's what being a man is.
Mm-hmm.
Not bare boobs and baseball.
Yeah.
All those things are great.
Yeah.
But that's not the be all and end all of being a man.
Yeah.
So hooray to the dads.
My dad maybe taught me a little boobs, but it's worked in my favor.
I love you, Mr. Matheny.
I love my daddy too. Yeah, but it's interesting, you know, because I think, you know, I was hearing somebody talk about this today, you know, that we all had the father that we were dealt, you know, and, you know, I was dealt like this gift of a dad, you know, who has just, you know, loved me. And even when he hasn't understood and he's, you know, as I've said on the show many times, you know, my dad did not understand this gay thing. He really did not get it, but he loved me enough to like move through it and be somebody who I know would have seen anybody trans as a drag queen, to being really good friends with Alexander Billings, you know, for a period of time there, you know, like he was emailing her about Ron Reagan dying, you know, like they've had their, you know, that my father is, you know, friends with all my GLBT friends, you know, and knows them as well as my straight friends and friends of different color, races, you know, that was not a part of my childhood. It really wasn't. You know, it's been a part of my adulthood, and us kind of becoming better adults together, once I became an adult. You know, and then there are people like you who, you know, dealt not a great hand with a dad.
Definitely not.
Obviously, you know. But the interesting thing is, like, how we take, you know, we take, and I was talking to one of my closest friends about this, you know, how we all then, if we choose, and you are a person who has chosen to do this, and you have fathered, even though you haven't fathered, you have been a father figure to many.
I have, and it's the most.
And you've
satisfying.
Had the opportunity to do that. Is that we began to write our own narrative of our lives. And if I had written the narrative that my father had, even in his loving way, had written for me, it would have been small and not the life that we've had.
Right.
And if you had gotten stuck in the narrative of your father, right. as small as it was,
right.
you know, you would have been a much different person, a much more beaten up person, or just broken. You would have been broken, you know, because broken would have passed broken on if that was all. So I'm just really grateful that whatever that story is, that, you know, the human spirit, you know, if questioned enough and if some good things
prodded
come into life
and poked at
enough, that it's not even that we overcome what we're given, it's that we become our own. We see our fathers, you know, for human, for being human, and some of them were not dealt the hand that others were dealt, you know, and that, you know, that experience did something for you that has been positive and has changed the trajectory.
I think in a lot of ways
life.
It made me look. I think in a lot of ways it made me look for good men in my life, you know, and you know, a lot of my friends and I have a lot of really good men in my life.
Yeah, gay and straight.
Gay and straight. Really good men. You know, I talk a lot about my best friend who's a straight man.
Young and old.
Young and old, absolutely. Rex, I have so many young friends in my life and so many older friends. And I think about my best friend, David, who we've been best friends for almost 25 years now. And straight and married and two gorgeous daughters. And
right.
And I think in some level, because he had a difficult dad too. He loved his dad very much, but his dad was also very difficult in a similar way to my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we found each other because of our dad's deficits, you know? And that he and I sort of like found each other in this universe and sort of have, in a weird way, fathered each other. You know, we often refer to each other as others, brother and son and father and all those things together in a way that... I don't think that our relationship would be as intense if we had had. I mean, it's like it was interesting once. I remember when his daughter was like 6 months old, his first daughter, Emma, and we were at a playground. It was David and his wife Maria and myself. Maria and I were like chatting and reading magazines, and David was playing with Emma on like a swing set or something like that. And she was giggling. He has two total daddy's girls, and Maria and I both sort of had this moment at the same time. She also had a difficult dad. And we both burst into tears. And we realized that we were both having the same moment watching David with Emma and thinking, wow. Emma has something that we never had. Like that dad, like that guy. We never had that, but boy oh boy, did we both seek out this man to be in our lives, you know?
It's so beautiful when it's not like the immigrant story of like, I want my kids to have what I didn't have, you know, and it's cash and prizes. No, this is more on a
universal set of
like, but it's on a spiritual, like deep, you know, intrinsic, like core.
This isn't about cash.
It's not about like the immigrant who comes over and is like bussing tables and his son becomes, or like Obama's story, you know, like you become president or whatever.
But no, this is on a spiritual level.
But this is like on some deep spiritual level, so. It's so beautiful. I'm so glad to have you back.
I know I'm back. It's great.
Oh, you're so back. This was such a great show. Our next show, Paul Oakley Stovall. I'm gearing up to go see Shelley Wright this week. I'm going to go hear her sing with the Backlot Bash. So everybody head out. All the gals, you're going to want to start doing the Backlot Bash stuff this week. It's happening Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So check out Backlot Bash on your websites and Facebook page. And gosh, there's so many great shows coming up. So are you talking about GLBT travel? I'm going to be doing a little travel. So there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Atlantic City.
Okay. We'll talk about Atlantic City too. We'll roll some dice.
All right.
All right, everybody. We're into Pride and the Pride Parade.
Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.